Welcome to Cut and Thrust, your podcast for the bloody and sometimes bizarre journey through the Middle Ages. Whether it's dark battles, questionable hygiene, or hair-raising rulers, here you'll get history as it really was, raw and unfiltered. So grab your sword, put on your helmet, and let's dive into the wild world of the past.
Hello and a warm welcome to a new episode of the Battle Merchant Podcast. I'm Hendrik.
And I'm Carmen, and today we're talking about a topic that everyone should know about if they're thinking of getting a set of chainmail. How do I measure myself properly so the thing actually fits?
And I know that sounds simple at first, but trust me, the fit of a chainmail shirt is... it's not like a t-shirt where you just go a size up and call it a day. We're talking about 10 to 15 kilos of metal sitting on your shoulders. If that weight isn't distributed properly, you'll really feel it after half an hour.
And it's not just about comfort. It's about function too. I once saw someone at an event whose chainmail kept slipping off one shoulder the entire time. They spent the whole day pulling it back up instead of focusing on their presentation. And here's the nasty part. When it slips on one side, you suddenly have gaps in your protection. So right where you need coverage, it's gone.
That's exactly the point. If a chainmail shirt is too tight, you can barely raise your arms and you can't breathe properly. And if it's too loose, all that weight swings back and forth instead of resting evenly on your shoulders. Historically, people were very well aware of this, by the way. Chainmail shirts in the Middle Ages were predominantly made to measure. There was no mass production. An armorer would spend months working on one, joining 20,000 to 40,000 rings. Some riveted, some punched, and the fit was...
tailored to the wearer. Because a hauberk that slips could be life-threatening in actual combat. The weight needs to rest evenly on the shoulders. Then it distributes itself across the upper body, and you can march in it for hours. If it fits poorly, it pulls you down on one side, and you fatigue much faster.
And of course, you also need to know what exactly you're measuring for, because not all chainmail is the same. There are different types, and each one requires its own set of measurements. Take the hauberk, for instance. That's the classic long chainmail shirt that goes from the shoulders down to...
down to the knees. It's essentially the full kit you picture when you think of a knight in the High Middle Ages. It weighs around 10 to 15 kilos, depending on ring size and material. And then there's the haubergeon, which is, I'd call it the little brother. It only goes down to the hips and often has shorter sleeves.
The haubergeon was historically popular with more lightly armed fighters, people who needed greater freedom of movement. But regardless of which type you choose, the basic principle of measuring is the same. You need your body measurements and you need the right ones.
And it doesn't stop there. The coif, the chainmail hood, requires your head circumference and neck length. Chainmail chausses need your inner leg length and thigh circumference. Every piece has its own critical measurements.
And what a lot of people forget about the whole
measuring process is the undergarments. You're not going to wear bare chainmail against your skin. At the very least, you'll have a gambeson underneath. And that adds another 2 or 3 centimeters to every measurement. You have to factor that in from the start. Otherwise, you'll end up with a chainmail shirt that you can't even fit into once you've got your padding on.
That's really one of those, I'd call it the classic beginner mistake. You measure yourself with nothing on, order what seems like the right size, and then you put the gambeson on underneath and nothing fits anymore. That's why our plan for today is this. We're going to go through all the important measurements, explain what you need for each type of armor, talk about common measuring mistakes, and of course, how to adjust a suit of armor after the fact.
And I can tell you from experience, once you've measured yourself properly, you save yourself a huge amount of frustration down the line. Whether it's for reenactment or LARP, armor that fits right just makes everything better.
Then let's get started.
Right, now it's getting practical. Before we measure anything, we first need the right tools. And fortunately, it's pretty straightforward. A flexible tape measure, a notepad, and ideally a second person to help you out.
The helper is actually more important than many people think. Especially when measuring arm length and shoulder width, doing it on your own gets really fiddly. You twist around, the tape measure slips, inaccuracies creep in fast.
And the next thing to think about is clothing. The basic rule is, wear tight, lightweight clothing when measuring. Or, and this is actually the better approach, put on the clothes you're planning to wear under the armor, so your gambeson, or at least a thick wool shirt. Because measurements taken on bare skin don't do you much good if you're adding padding on top later.
What's interesting is that the whole systematic approach to taking measurements, the way we do today, wasn't really common historically. In the Middle Ages, the mail maker would weave his chainmail in panels, torso, sleeves, shoulder sections, often separately, and then join them together. Fitting was done more through trying it on and reworking it rather than taking precise measurements beforehand.
That worked because the mail mesh is so flexible. Unlike plate armor, where every plate has to be precisely shaped, chainmail mesh adapts to the body to a certain degree. But today, most people buy standard sizes, and that means the measurements have to be right. So let's go through the five basic measurements.
Let's begin.
Number one, chest circumference. Wrap the tape measure around the widest part of the chest, usually right under the armpits. For women, over the fullest point. Important, breathe normally. Don't hold your breath and don't suck in. The measurement you read during a relaxed exhale is the correct value. And make sure the tape runs level, not slanting downward toward the back.
By the way, something a lot of people get wrong, pulling the tape too tight. You don't want a corset measurement, you want an armor measurement. Two fingers should fit comfortably between the tape and your body.
Number two, waist circumference. Find your natural waist. That's the narrowest part of your torso, usually roughly at belly button height. Wrap the tape loosely around it. Keep it level, and you're done. By the way, if you're enjoying this episode and want to hear more practical tips like these, feel free to subscribe and share us with others. It really helps us out.
Number three, hip circumference. Measure at the widest point with the tape parallel to the floor. This measurement is especially relevant for longer chainmail shirts, the Hauberg for example, because it drapes over the hips and shouldn't
dig in, because otherwise the weight bunches up at the wrong point. The Hauberg should flow over the hips, not sit on them like a belt.
Then, number four, arm length. And this is where it really gets tricky without a helper. You measure from the shoulder, where the sleeve would start, down to the wrist. And your arm should be slightly bent, not fully extended, the way you'd actually hold it while wearing armor.
And the last measurement? Shoulder width. You measure from
shoulder joint to shoulder joint, straight across the back. Make sure you hit the outermost points of the shoulders. Don't start too far inward. This is the critical measurement because the shoulders bear the entire weight of the armor.
And if the shoulder width is off, everything shifts. Too wide and the armor hangs down at the sides. Too narrow and it presses into the shoulder joints. In practice, this is the measurement that causes the most problems because people stand in front of the mirror by themselves and drape the tape across their back however they can.
That's why I'd say it again. Get someone to help you. At least for arm length and shoulder width. It takes 5 minutes and can save you hours of hassle later on.
And write down all 5 measurements neatly, with the date, because body measurements can change over time. It sounds like a lot right now, but once you've got the routine down, you can get through it in 10 minutes. Chest, waist, hips, arm length, shoulder width. That gives you the foundation for any set of chainmail.
So, now we've got the 5 basic measurements. But depending on the type of armor, there are a few additional measurements to take. Let's start with the hauberk. As we mentioned earlier, the classic, the long chainmail shirt that comes to mind immediately. Historically, the hauberk was the standard armor of the Norman knights. On the Bayeux tapestry, you can see them all wearing long chainmail shirts with integrated hoods that reach down to the knees.
For the hauberk, you need 2 additional measurements on top of the basics. First, the overall length. Measure from the shoulder to just above the knee while standing straight. The hauberk should reach roughly to the knee. Second, the upper arm circumference for the sleeves. Measured at the thickest part of the upper arm, with some extra room for freedom of movement.
The extra room on the upper arm is especially important because you need to be able to raise and extend your arm. If the sleeves are tight around the biceps, it's massively restrictive. Better to have an extra centimeter than too little.
Then there's the haubergeon, the shorter cousin that we already touched on. This version only goes down to the hips, and the sleeves are usually shorter. Historically, it became more prevalent in the late Middle Ages as plate armor components were increasingly being worn. The haubergeon then served more as the first layer of protection underneath, easier to put on and more flexible to combine with other pieces.
Measuring for a haubergeon is simpler. You measure from the shoulder to the hip. The other basic measurements stay the same, but you can skip the long overall measurement down to the knee. On the other hand, the fit around the shoulders is even more critical with the haubergeon, because there's less material hanging below and the weight is concentrated on a smaller area.
Which means it's distributed differently. The haubergeon weighs less than a full hauberk, of course, but the weight is more concentrated on the shoulders and upper back. That's why shoulder width and chest circumference really have to be precise.
Now it gets interesting with the coif, the chainmail hood. Historically, there are 2 variants. In the Norman period, the chainmail hood was usually attached directly to the hauberk. It was all one piece. From roughly the 12th, 13th century onward, the sources increasingly show separate chainmail hoods, though both variants continue to exist side by side for a long time.
And for a separate coif, you need 2 specific measurements. Head circumference. Wrap the tape measure just above the eyebrows around the head. That's where the hood will sit. And neck length. Measure from the hairline at the nape of the neck down to the collarbone. This determines how far the neck protection extends. Optionally, the neck circumference for fit. And then you also need to decide on the face opening. V-shaped, square, or with a vent tail.
The coif is a special case because it's also worn under
a helmet. And you have to be careful here. If you're wearing a coif under a helmet, you may need a helmet that's a size larger. Those are 2 pieces of armor that need to work together. In reenactment, you often see people forcing their helmet over the coif and then wondering why it pinches.
Last type, chainmail chausses. They protect the legs and require 2 measurements of their own.
Inner leg length, from the crotch to the ankle, and thigh circumference at the thickest point.
For the thigh circumference, the same rule applies as for the sleeves. Leave a bit of room so you can move freely. This is especially crucial when running and going down on one knee.
Something to keep in mind across all these types. Reenactment has different priorities than full contact medieval combat. In reenactment, historical accuracy matters. You'd want a hauberk for a Norman portrayal, not a haubergeon. In full contact combat, on the other hand, it's primarily about protection and freedom of movement, so you choose the type based on function. But in both cases, the measurements have to be right. Otherwise, even the best armor is useless.
And it's similar with LARP chainmail. There, what matters most is wearing comfort over an entire day. Anyone who spends 8 hours in a poorly fitting hauberk isn't going to have a good time. The investment in careful measuring really pays off there.
And now, a quick word from our sponsor. Feeling curious? Then head over to battlemerchant.com. They've got all sorts of medieval stuff, from costumes to armor and loads more. Totally worth a look.
Now let's dive deeper into a point that truly makes the difference when measuring. The undergarments. As we said, nobody wants to wear chainmail directly on their skin. It chafes, sticks in, and you feel every impact one-to-one.
The gambesness is absolutely essential here, and something many people don't even have on their radar. The gambeson wasn't just a padded underlayer for chainmail historically. It was a fully fledged, standalone piece of armor. Especially for foot soldiers and light infantry who couldn't afford a chainmail shirt, the gambeson was often their only protection. Multiple layers of quilted linen, sometimes stuffed with raw wool, it absorbed blows remarkably well and, depending on distance, number of layers, and arrow type, could even slow down arrows. They'd often just get stuck in the padding.
And precisely because the gambeson adds so much volume, you have to account for it when measuring. Ideally, measure with the gambeson you plan to wear already on. If that's not possible, as a rough guide, you might add about 2 to 3 centimeters for a lightweight gambeson and significantly more for a heavy one designed for full contact combat. But these are only ballpark figures that can vary quite a bit, especially for circumference measurements.
And there's the first pitfall. The thickness of the gambeson depends a lot on what you're planning to do with it. For reenactment or LARP, a lighter gambeson is often enough, since there's no full contact fighting involved. In full contact medieval combat, on the other hand, you need serious padding and correspondingly
more room in the chainmail. That can easily mean a full 5 centimeters difference per measurement. That's why it's so important to already know which gambeson you'll be wearing when you take your measurements. Ideally, put it on and measure over it.
If it's not a gambeson, but, say, a thick wool shirt or a quilted tunic, then add roughly 1 to 2 centimeters per clothing layer. The layers add up quickly.
Right, and once you have your measurements, including undergarments, it's time for the actual size selection. And here's the most important tip. Look at the manufacturer's size charts carefully and compare them. They are not standardized, which means a size L from one supplier can fit quite differently from another.
You know that from regular clothing, of course, but with armor, the effect is even more pronounced because chainmail mesh varies in flexibility depending on ring diameter and weave pattern. My tip? If you're between two sizes, the larger one is usually more practical. A chainmail suit that's a bit too wide is generally much easier to adjust than one that's too tight. With one that's too tight, you have to add rings. That's a lot of work. With one that's too wide, you can remove rings or rework the mesh to tighten it in specific areas.
And then, of course, there's the question of standard.
Or custom-made. For beginners, I'd actually recommend starting with a standard size. They're more affordable, available faster, and if the measurements were taken properly, they fit well enough in most cases.
Custom-made pieces are, of course, the gold standard for a perfect fit. But they cost more and take time, because the chainmail shirt is crafted ring by ring to your proportions. If you're just starting out and don't yet know exactly which armor combination you'll end up wearing, you're better off with a standard size for now. You can always fine-tune things later.
Something else to keep in mind. Body measurements change. If you train regularly or simply gain or lose a few kilos, you might need different measurements at some point. A standard size with a bit of room is more forgiving than a tight custom fit that you can no longer
adjust, or only with a lot of effort. So once again, the golden rule. Better to go generous than too tight. That applies to the gambeson allowance just as much as to the overall size choice.
Right, so now you've got your measurements, you've chosen the right size, and the armor is in front of you. Now comes the exciting part, the fitting. And the first step is to actually put on your complete undergarments. Gambeson, everything that goes underneath. Fully dressed. Don't just slip into it wearing a t-shirt and assume it'll be fine.
Then carefully get into the chainmail and just stand still for a moment. The armor should sit evenly, without pinching or pressing anywhere. The shoulders are the most important checkpoint. They need to sit comfortably, shouldn't slip and shouldn't dig in. If you feel like the armor hangs lower on one shoulder than the other, something's off with the fit.
And then comes the movement test. Arms up, to the sides, reaching forward, then bending, squatting down, and what most people forget,
sitting down and standing back up. That's such a typical beginner mistake. People try on the armor, make a couple of arm movements, and say it fits. And then, the first time they sit down on a bench at an event, they can barely get back up because the hauberk behaves completely differently when you're seated. The armor bunches up, the hem presses against your thighs, and suddenly the length that was perfect when standing becomes a restriction.
That's a great point. Armor can fit perfectly when standing and still cause problems when sitting. So, test every movement you'll actually be making later. Walking, turning, bending over, sitting down, standing up. If anything shifts or pinches, take note.
And then it's time for fine-tuning. If the armor is too long, you can carefully remove rings from the bottom hem. Too short? Then add rings. The same goes for the sleeves. As a general rule, it's better to have something a bit too long than too short, because shortening is easier than lengthening.
For tight spots, you add extra rings. For areas that are too loose, you remove some. Important. Always work symmetrically. Change the same amount on both sides, otherwise the whole shape gets distorted. Sometimes you can also ease tight spots by removing rings or reworking the mesh to tighten it up elsewhere. Leather or wire ties can also serve as a temporary solution for cinching the waist.
And always in small steps. Don't take out 20 rings at once. Take out 5, try it on again, then another 5.
Now let me quickly talk about the most common measuring mistakes that
keep happening again and again. Number 1. Measuring too tightly. The rule of thumb about 2 fingers of clearance between the tape and your body gets ignored constantly. People pull the tape as tight as a corset and then wonder why nothing fits.
Number 2. Inconsistent reference points. Some people measure the length from the shoulder one time and from the neck the next, and then nothing adds up. Always measure from the shoulder. Always use the same reference point.
And finally, let's talk about care. Because the best fit in the world is useless if the armor is rusty after a few outings. After every use, wipe the armor down with a dry cloth. For heavier soiling, use lukewarm water with mild soap and then dry it thoroughly. Rust is, well, the absolute
arch enemy of every chainmail suit. And people knew that in the Middle Ages too. A popular method in the community is to put chainmail shirts in barrels or bags filled with sand and roll them around. The friction mechanically scrubs the rust off. Whether this was historically done that way isn't actually documented. Archaeological finds tend to show rusted remains with no signs of maintenance. but it works brilliantly all the same. Some people also mix in some grease, which doubles as rust protection.
Some people still use that principle today with a concrete mixer and gravel. But for most people, a dry wipe down and an occasional light oiling will do the job.
And storage? That's one of those things. It's kind of like, well, like with good shoes. Don't just toss it in a corner. For long-term storage, it's best to keep it flat or rolled up. Hanging is fine only short-term, and then on a really wide padded hanger. Otherwise, the shoulders stretch out. For chainmail coifs, a styrofoam head works great to help them keep their shape.
So, to sum it up, measure carefully, factor in your undergarments, do a thorough fitting, adjust in small steps, and maintain it regularly. Do that, and you'll enjoy your chainmail for a long time.
And if this has made you want to dive deeper into the topic, feel free to check out battlemerchant.com. There you'll find not only a comprehensive selection of chainmail armor and accessories, but also plenty of articles on the blog covering all things historical gear and armor.
With that said, grab your tape measure, take the time, and get to work on your chainmail. We hope this episode has been helpful. Until next time.
Take care.
And so we ride towards the end of this episode. Keep your sword sharp and your mugs full. We'll catch you in the next one.